Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to connecting with you every single day to bring you conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, you think about it, you just have to look around. We live in a world where it seems everyone and their brother is looking for their 5 minutes of fame, even if it's to their own shame. I mean, we see it even in the Christian world. But for what? You know, it makes me think of the Toby Mac song, "I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul." Well, my guest today writes this: "I had a successful career as a dancer under my belt, and the next one as an actress was taking off. I had fame, financial security, and everything that was supposed to bring fulfillment, happiness, and comfort. But I was definitely not comfortable. I was tormented." People are chasing their 5 minutes of fame, thinking it'll bring fulfillment, but it absolutely will not. But maybe fame's not your thing, but maybe relief is. And you're turning to counterfeit comforts to numb the pain, treat surface symptoms, because you really don't want to get at what's buried beneath the surface. But that thing that's buried beneath the surface is what God wants to speak to touch, so He can set you free. Actress, author, and speaker Robia Scott joins me today to share her story to inspire you to live the life God has purposed for you. I often say this, you hear me say it a lot: His will for you is your best case scenario. Robia's written an amazing book titled Counterfeit Comforts: Freedom from the Imposters That Keep You from True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. We'll give a few copies away today as we go. Quick announcement: our spring share is just around the corner, and I love this time of year because we get to just pause and recount what God has done, where He's brought us, and then cast a vision for where we believe He's bringing us. So would you be prayerful as we step into the share event? It's coming up in April. I'm expectant and excited. Boy, we are just so thrilled with what God is doing in our midst, but we can't do it without you, and we really wouldn't want to. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Robia Scott's an author, international speaker, and after rocketing success in Hollywood as an actor and a dancer, Robia left her place of fame, and she launched a ministry with this vision to bring freedom and healing to people, that they might experience the presence and the power of God in a way that changes them forever. I've had Robia on my old show, Live the Promise, many times. I love this woman of God. Robia, it's so good to connect with you again.
It's great to be back with you, and so much has transpired since we last spoke. I'm so excited to share everything with you today.
Oh, has it ever. So much to catch up on, Robia. We're going to dig into your book, Counterfeit Comforts. And friends, just so you know, we've been talking about the film Unplanned that's coming up very soon. Robia also is an actress in that film. We'll dig into that as well. But you know the drill, because I've had you on a number of times. We love to start by talking scripture, Robia, and I know you love God's word. Is there either a life verse or just one you've been hanging around these days you can share with us?
It's hard to choose just one, because I do love the word, but I would have to say the scripture that is most prominent, I believe, for me personally and what God is doing is Esther 4, for such a time as this.
Talk about that.
This film, well, I mean, this movie, let me just share a quick little story and jump into it, for such a time as this. You know, I'm doing this film Unplanned. It's coming out this week, and we'll talk all about it. But one of the tremendous behind-the-scenes stories about Unplanned is it's a true story. It's based on the book Unplanned by Abby Johnson. And the writer-directors had the rights to this story for 6 years. And they are awesome men of God. They don't do anything without prayer. Every time they step forward to start moving to produce the movie and go into production, they would pray, and the Lord said, "Not yet." So they put the project on the back burner, and they would do something else. And then a year later, they would revisit it, and the Lord said, "Not yet." And then, you know, this happened two or three times, and they said, "Lord, what's going on? Are we going to make this?" And finally, our Father released them to go forward and make the movie last year, and it's coming out this weekend. You know, this is a story about, it lifts the veil of Planned Parenthood. It really takes you inside this issue of abortion. Now, had this film come out 2 years ago, 3-4 years ago, it would have been powerful. But look at how God orchestrated this film to come out right now in this time in our culture. Even when we were making this movie last year, what we see now happening in America was not happening, with these bills being passed, and the Senate voting on the things that are happening in New York. And you know, this was not happening. So I just think we are right in an incredible time and season. And it's a, for such a time as this type of moment.
Wow. What, you know, boy, I sure honor these producers. I've heard about them through Lorraine, who's worked behind the scenes on another film with them. But, you know, that's such a rarity, again, especially chasing 5 minutes of fame, especially making Americanized Christianity about accomplishment and achievement. I think when you're abiding in the vine, some of those things will come and they will go. But if you make that the end game, you can justify just about anything, right? But they have decided that they are going to follow the Lord and his timing, and his will is always just supreme. I just honor them for having the grit and the courage to wait on God's timing, because he sees everything, you know?
It's true, and it's incredible. They didn't want to just make a movie. They wanted to really be used by God. And so for them to have that yieldedness and surrender to trust the Lord, and look what happened. Look at the timing of this movie coming out this weekend.
And I can imagine, well, I know the enemy hates this, and so we need to be praying protection around the whole launching of the film, and we can, again, talk about that in a minute. But for those who maybe didn't hear our interview, I don't know if it was a couple of years ago, give some backstory, Rabia, on your journey. It's amazing to me, knowing your story, how God just had his affection set on you from the beginning. But we never really know that when we're lost. So talk about it, if you will.
Yes, I started my career as a teenager, as a professional dancer. I saw the movie Flashdance way back when, and I was completely inspired. I always danced around the house as a little girl, but when I saw the movie Flashdance, I realized that you could dance beyond your living room and, you know, beyond your backyard and actually make it a career. So I started pursuing dance, and just a few years later, I was doing a lot of music videos. That was really when MTV was on the rise. And then I got hired to work with Prince, and he had a very successful album in the early 90s called Diamonds and Pearls. And I played the pearl half of Diamonds and Pearls. So I was on the album cover, traveled the world with him, dancing in front of 60,000 people at a time, did all the music videos for his album, and it was tremendous. And from there, I'd already danced, had about an 8-year dance career, and I just felt like to segue into acting. And I started doing that and appearing on shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And it was during my time on Buffy that I was really seeking God, because I was struggling. Even though I was successful and I was making money and I was on television, I was traveling, there were just issues internally that I was dealing with. And so I started seeking out God. And it was during that time that I became a Christian. And I felt very quickly that the Lord was taking me out of my 20-year career in the entertainment industry and transitioning me into ministry. So I did that. I took a leap of faith, and I completely walked away from Hollywood. I stepped into a ministry when I didn't even have a ministry, and just started pursuing God. And, you know, he is faithful. So he taught me and trained me, and I just spent so much time pressing into the things of the Lord and reading the word and in prayer. And he did develop a ministry. And so for the last 15 years, I've been traveling the country, traveling the world. I speak, I teach, I wrote a book. We'll talk about that a little bit. And honestly, Susie, I never had any intention of ever going back to Hollywood. I love ministry. I love what I'm doing. This is my calling. This is what I'm built for. But wouldn't you know it, people started praying over me these last couple of years, and a lot of different people said the same thing. They kept sensing and speaking to me that they felt that the Lord was not done with me in Hollywood. So I said, well, you know, we'll have to see what God's going to do. He would have to literally drop it in my lap, because I'm not going to pursue it. And he did drop it in my lap through Lorraine, actually, who you just had on your show. I met her. I did not know her. I met her on a talk show. We were both being interviewed for our books. She wound up introducing me to Chuck Konzelman and Carrie Solomon, who are the writing team who did the hit film God's Not Dead from a few years back. So long story real short, she introduced me to them. We had a coffee. They shared the story of Unplanned. I was intrigued. They invited me to come and audition for it. I did. And then a few weeks later, they called and hired me. And after a 15-year hiatus from Hollywood, God brought me back to the industry as a Christian in this unbelievable kingdom movie in one of the starring roles. So here I am back in Hollywood.
Wow. Wow. And you, let's go back to that place. Thank the Lord for your story. It's just really amazing. You wrote in Counterfeit Comforts that though you appeared back then to be in control, living the life, that your deepest desire was to be at rest on the inside, to feel at ease with yourself and with your life. That's really, I think, such an honest way to put it, because, again, when people pursue achievement to think it's going to fill some hole in their soul, it never does. In fact, I think it makes it worse. It blows, it's like a stick of dynamite. It blows the hole that much bigger. Everybody wants to be at rest on the inside and feel ease. You know, did you know or observe at that time before you came to Christ anybody who seemed to live that way that inspired you?
No, I did not have a lot of Christians in my circle. You know, as I was pursuing God and being in Southern California, when you are going after spirituality, what's most prevalent is the New Age movement. So in my quest for answers, in my quest for freedom, I was also struggling with body image issues, and my relationship with food was just tormented. You know, I was consumed with what I would eat, what I wouldn't eat, how my body looked. Even dabbled a little bit in eating disorders. And, you know, I believe for women that we all get affected in this area with our physical appearance and our weight and our body. But being a professional dancer and an actress just exacerbated the situation. So I was tormented. I was struggling. And I started to dabble in the New Age. And I was doing, you know, self-help books and meditation and things along those lines. But I just was not getting free. And I believed in God. So I really just took, it was really between me and God. I started talking to him. I said, okay, God, you know, I believe in you, but I don't get this whole born again Christian thing. I don't get how there's only one way to you. What does being a Christian, a born again entail? Do I have to be, you know, super Christian-y and say praise the Lord every 5 seconds? And, you know, can I still be cute and fashionable? And like, what does this mean? Because I did not really have any Christians, any representations. And then, you know, how Hollywood represents Christianity. It's not that appealing, you know, how they portray Christians. You never really see the Christian woman being savvy and intelligent and you know, holy and beautiful and successful. You don't see that on television. You see it being the hypocritical character or kind of the crazy person and not someone you want to emulate. So, you know, I took it to God and I was crying out and praying and asking for him to reveal himself to me. And he did, and in so many different ways. But one that was so kind of funny, I was on the freeway driving and I was having this conversation with God, asking him to reveal himself to me and asking him to just give me some insight about Jesus and the Bible. Because I, you know, was reading every self-help book under the sun, but I had not read the Bible. And as I'm praying and asking God for a sign, I'm literally surrounded by a pack of Hell's Angels bikers. And I think, oh my goodness, how ironic is this? I'm talking to God. I've got Hell's Angels bikers in front of me, around my car. They've all got their leather jackets on. I look a little more closely, and there's a biker right in front of my car. And on the back of their leather jacket is a huge cross. And over the cross, it says, "We ride for Jesus." So I was not surrounded by Hell's Angels. I actually had bikers around me while I'm asking God for a sign about Jesus. So of course, you know, that cracked me up. I said, Okay, God, you're so real. You're so not religious. You will talk, like the Bible says, in obscure ways and all sorts of ways to get a hold of us. So it was really just a series of events from there that I was led to a church and I started reading the Bible, and the Lord got me. He was wooing me and he hooked me and he got me.
Yeah, thank the Lord. We're going to pause here. I'm talking to Robia Scott. We're going to dig into this content of her book, Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters That Keep You from True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. Questions, comments, you want to get in the drawing, you can either email middays@myfaithradio.com or text us 877-933-2484. You know, we talk about in the book, or she talks about in the book, we talk about on the show, how often we treat symptoms. We don't want to feel things. But God wants to get at those places to set us free. And maybe you're dabbling in a counterfeit comfort, and there's no condemnation here, but there's an invitation to be free. We'll talk more about that on the other side. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. You're my defender. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Really honored to have you listening today, talking to Robia Scott. She's a speaker. She's an actor. And she used to be really rocking it in Hollywood before she came to Christ. She even acted on the film Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And during that, I think 3 months into that stint is when Rabia came to the Lord and now ministers on a greater level for soul healing. And I want you to talk, if you would, about the inspiration behind your book, Counterfeit Comforts. I mean, part of it is from your own story of some, you know, bulimia and some food issues. In fact, let's start here, because one day the Lord spoke to your heart and he said, Rabia, your issue isn't food. And you tried to say, well, yes, it is. And he said, well, no, it's not. Talk about that exchange and really how revelatory it was for you.
Well, when I came into Christianity, right away the Lord started impacting my life. And I was getting freedom and feeling his presence and learning about God and growing in prayer. And it was extraordinary. However, this area I was dealing with food actually got worse. And I was thinking, well, what the heck? Now I'm a Christian. This is all supposed to just go away and get better. And, you know, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me through the Bible and said, no, John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he looks for your vulnerabilities. And this is a vulnerability. And he's going to try to take you out with this. So now we really have to go after this. We have to be focused and get you healed in this area. So I said, okay, God, what is it with food? Why can't I get free? And that's when he started to speak to me. It wasn't an audible voice. It was just that knowing and that impression. And he said, food is not your issue. And I said, okay, I really think it is, but I'm listening. And he said, no, food is really just a fruit to an unhealthy root. You know, you're actually when you're feeling things, you know, the root is feelings that you don't know how to deal with. If you feel rejected, if you feel abandoned, if you feel uncomfortable, you're looking for comfort and you're running to a counterfeit comfort of food instead of the true comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And that just floored me. I mean, that was just, I'd never heard the term counterfeit comfort. You know, the Lord right away brought me to the scripture about the Holy Spirit being the true comforter. And as I continued in prayer, I felt the Spirit of God say to me, you know, if you will allow me, I'll go into those roots and we'll do some healing in there. And then the fruit will just take care of itself. And I will teach you how to transfer dependence from the counterfeit onto the true comforter. And see, that's where so many of us, you know, we try to fix the problem from the outside in. We try to diet our food issues away, or we will it. We try to quit smoking and try to stop shopping so much. And, you know, we try to stop all these things from the outside when really those are just fruit or symptoms to really a deeper issue.
Yeah, some of the other counterfeit comforts you address, gambling, you know, of course, alcohol, shopping, but you even say busyness. And I loved your acronym, being under Satan's yoke. All these counterfeits, you said, you know, we try to kind of even, you know, sin management, behavior modification. How did God go after the root of it so that the fruit could take care of itself? How did he do that with you?
Yeah, like you said, you know, counterfeits, some of them are not inherently bad. I mean, there's nothing wrong with food. You know, there's nothing wrong with exercise. But when we run to these things to fill something that they're not meant to fill, then they can in turn no longer be comforts, but then we're in bondage to those, and then we're in more bondage. So what God really did is he took me through a process, and this is what I really go into in depth in the book. It's about not just believing in God, not just going to church and hearing a wonderful teaching, but really learning how to connect with him in a way and experience him, hearing his voice. I mean, that's one of the main things that I teach and have taught for decades now, how to get into the place where you hear God's voice. Because I have to tell you, as much as I travel and speak, that's the number one thing I hear from believers, that they say that they struggle because they don't feel like they hear God. And that should be the most natural thing for us. You know, my sheep hear my voice. It's not just for pastors and ministers. It's for all of us to hear God. So in my book, I really go, not a formula, but just a little path that I help navigate the readers and to take you into a place where you can get still. You know, the Bible talks about be still and know that I am God, where you can get quiet, where you can learn how to, when you feel like you're running to a counterfeit, where you can just kind of stop for a second and go, okay, hold on, let me actually figure out if I can identify what's really going on and allow the Holy Spirit, who is the counselor, in addition to being a comforter, to counsel and to open your understanding. And that's what I did. I had times where, you know, God said, just come to me before you run to the food. Just start to build a habit of coming to me and let's talk, let's connect. So I would lay on my floor, and I have a whole chapter in the book called On the Floor Ministry, where I would just lay on my living room floor and I would say, okay, God, you know, here I am. I feel all these feelings, you know, where is this coming from? Why is this happening? And the Holy Spirit would gently begin to speak to me. He would show me, oh, you know, when this happened at that audition and now you want to go binge, you know, what that hit is that root of rejection. But that's not even where it started at this audition today. And then he would take me back to childhood and to different issues. And he would really just open it up and show me these areas of wounding in my soul because of what I had experienced. And then show me how to really receive his love. And he would talk to me about how he felt about me. And, you know, if I was abandoned or someone hurt me, he would bring up all these scriptures about how he would never leave me or forsake me. And I would just have these beautiful encounters with God on the floor. Mm. And little by little, healing would transpire.
Beautiful. So in the same way, someone maybe who runs to shopping, and it's way too easy now with a click of a button, or maybe gambling or alcohol or whatever, even scrolling on Facebook, you know, it's better if they're overdoing that, it's good to just pause and say, what is it I'm looking to fulfill in my soul right now? And ask the Lord, show me, why am I going after this? Is that a good place to start?
That is a good place to start. I mean, I think the distractions are greater than ever in our current society, but it's been an issue since biblical times. That's why, you know, the parable of the soils. And in Mark 4, he talks about the cares of the world and how that is a, you know, a distraction that keeps us from really going deep in God, keeps the seed from going deep and producing fruit. And it's so easy now because everything is at our fingertips with the phone, and it's easy to be distracted. And it's very challenging. It's a real discipline to be still and to actually be internal. That's why I say, like you stated, busy, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. Because it's such a push from the enemy to have us constantly scrolling, constantly typing, constantly calling, watching, shopping, moving. Because when we're doing that, we're always externally focused and we're not internally focused. So half the time, we don't even know where we are, how we are. We haven't taken any kind of inventory. And we don't really have that deep intimacy with God. We might do godly things. We might read the Bible. We might go to church. We might listen to a teaching. But how does that go deeper to the place where we get firsthand revelation? And that, Susie, is another thing I'm so passionate about. I love that we have access to all this incredible teaching online. I love that we have churches and leaders all around the country that are teaching the Word of God. It's awesome. I love to have books, you know, where people are telling us and teaching us. But hopefully the best teachers and the best books will not just give you information, but will teach you how to get into the place where you can hear firsthand from God. Because when I heard God talk to me about counterfeit comforts, that has changed my life. And it's changed a lot of other people's lives. So yeah. There's, you know, secondhand revelation is a part of our walk, but getting into the place where we hear God directly is invaluable.
And you sure can see why then the enemy is just speeding things up to create so many distractions, and we can so easily be sucked into it. I've said for years, you have to feel it to heal it. And I watched a video on your website and you said it even better. You said you have to feel it, deal with it so you can heal it. There are so many things beneath the surface that God wants to heal in our lives, friends. And I think it starts where we need to dare to look. What are my defaults? What are my counterfeit comforts? What are the things I'm running to? We need to pause here. Talking to Robia Scott, title of her book, Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters That Keep You from True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. Text in if you've got a question, comment, 877-933-2484. You can email if you want in on the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com. And we will be back in a moment. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friend Robia Scott. She's an actress and an author and a speaker Her book is titled Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters That Keep You from True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. Talking about those default things that we go to so we don't have to feel what's brewing beneath the surface. But boy, that is where God wants to go so he can set us free. It's like he wants to take up more real estate in your soul so that you can walk into deeper freedom. Mm-hmm. We'll also talk about the film Unplanned, as Robia has one of the lead roles in the film. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But you said living a life cut off from ourselves is exhausting. And attempting to act okay when we're really not okay saps the life right out from underneath us. If you were to make a good guess, Robia, what percentage of the church, of God's people, live that way, kind of from themselves, just trying to act okay, but they're just really not?
Oh, my goodness. I think a lot of the church, I would say most of the church, yeah. I think there's pressure as Christians that we, you know, do want to appear full of joy. So a lot of times we put that on. We want to be a good witness. And then I really honestly believe that many people want to go deeper. They just don't know how. And that is the crux of my passion, teaching people how. Because I even found for myself when I was coming up in church, even though I was in some fantastic churches and I was learning some wonderful things, I noticed that a lot of the teaching was, in my opinion, was concepts. You know, it was trust in the Lord and just surrender all and just focus on the cross. And I thought, well, all that's great. You know, I want to surrender all. I want to focus on the cross. But what does that mean? What does that mean when I'm feeling stressed and I'm feeling like I want to binge? What does that mean when I'm, you know, depressed or tormented? You know, how do I focus on the cross? You know, what's the how-to? And so, you know, that is what really triggered me to go into the Bible and to develop, you know, this walk with God where, you know, the Bible is not just stories, it's practical, applicable tools. So there are very much how-to steps and ways by applying these tools to get into that place where your joy is authentic, where you actually are free. And it does hurt me because I see so many incredible men and women of God that love God, that are very committed, but they don't have so many of the promises that are available to us in Christ and don't have all that fruit of, you know, peace in the mind and joy and health in the body, good relationships, all of those things that are available to us in Christ.
And one of the reasons that matters, one is because God loves us and Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil in our lives so that we could live abundantly. But also there's a ripple effect to the extent that we live in the fullness God appointed for us and Jesus won for us really does determine the impact of the lives of those around us. It's to the extent that others bear witness and are nourished by the fruit in our lives. So our story is so much bigger than we are. I mean, there really is a biblical case. Not only are you that important to the Lord, but you are significant in the greater kingdom story. And if you were at one of your speaking events and giving just a few of these how-to tools, could you share those with us? Talk to us like you're at a conference and tell us what you've learned.
Well, I am all about tools for transformation. And I'll tell your listeners right now, I definitely suggest Counterfeit Comforts, which you can find on my website, robiascott.com, or on Amazon. But I also love to put some free resources in your hands. So if you go to my website, robiascott.com, and you sign up for the email, you'll automatically get a couple teachings, and one of them is called Tools for Transformation that will put these tools right there in your inbox, and you can listen to some teaching on this. And one of my favorite tools that I do speak everywhere, and I think it's like the foundation of freedom, is about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and it's speaking life. And I love this topic. This is a game changer. You know, when God started showing me some of my areas of wounding, He also identified lies that I believe about myself, and he taught me how to really go into the Word and to find what the truth says to counteract what these lies that I believe are. And there's all sorts of scriptures. You know, if you study the book of Proverbs, there's over 100 scriptures where mouth, lips, and tongue is used in a scripture. You know, if you do this with your mouth, if you speak one way, this is the result. If your mouth goes this the other way, this is the result you'll have. And in James, it says that our tongue is like the ship of a rudder, the rudder of a ship. So you have a huge ship, and the little tiny rudder in the back actually directs the whole course of the ship. So this is one of those tools that many believers might know, but I feel like we all have a sword, but a lot of our swords are a bit dusty and rusty, and we're not, you know, using our swords. We haven't become masters with the sword. Learning how to really speak the word, to stand in faith, to declare the word. And it's not a name it and claim it. We're not trying to manipulate God. We just have to recognize that God gave us this incredible tool of creativity in our mouth, and he modeled it for us. That's how he created earth. That's how he created everything. Right in the beginning of the Bible, he spoke things into existence. And all throughout the Bible, I can give you scripture after scripture after scripture. Romans 4:17 is one of my favorites. Speak those things that are not as though they are. And what most of us do is we speak those things that are as though they are. My back hurts, my bank account's empty. You know, we speak what is. But the Bible tells us that when we learn to speak what's not, you know, we speak the truth of the word over the fact of the circumstance, that we literally shift our lives and we position ourselves. And this is what I teach when I do coaching. For the last year or so, I've done a lot of coaching. I'm so passionate about it because I love to walk it out with people. But I teach about positioning, and it's these kind of tools that put you in position to receive everything God has for you. It's all available to us, but it doesn't just happen. We have to know how to position ourselves. And one of the best things we can do, the first step, is to align our mouth with the word of God and learn how to pray the way Jesus prayed, by declaring, by standing on the word, by speaking the word. It's very powerful. It's all about our authority in Christ, and it will completely change you. When you stop speaking negative, when you stop speaking deaf, and when you stop agreeing with your circumstances, it's a complete life shifter.
You know, that's great. So good. I remember a guest years ago when I asked the question every day, what's the verse you have? And he had, oh my goodness, I'm going to try to remember. I think it's from Proverbs, but that you eat the fruit of the words of your lips. And he basically said, this translates hand mouth to hand. Basically, your hands have to carry what your mouth has been saying. And I remember, Robia, as a young mom, when I was battling Lyme disease, and my disease was killing us financially. So it was killing me physically, but also financially. We were just turned upside down. We had more medical debt than we had financial income. And I remember, you know, crying out to God, going, don't let us lose our house. Please heal me, and all these things. And then I would get up, and I would say, I don't know how we'll ever get out of this. And I remember one day, the Lord just, I mean, pierced me. I felt just like that inner wince, like I was struck through a little bit by it. The Lord just said, you pray my word, and then you get up, and your own words testify against the very thing that you've been praying about. And I know I'm still fairly new in the faith, but it was really like a jarring thing for me and a revelation for me. I just think how often it's like you've got one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake, where you're saying one thing and then you're saying another thing. And again, because I think the name it, claim it thing has been taken to such an extreme, as if God is some kind of a Santa Claus and a means to an end. We don't want to go near that whole thing, but there is power in it, even physiologically in our brain and everything, to the things, the most consistent things we say. So we do need to visit it and understand the truth of it, right?
Yes, it's biblical. It's absolutely biblical. And name it and claim it, you know, took a biblical principle and perverted it a tiny bit to make it about really just trying to get what you want and more of a soul desire. But really, when you're speaking the word, you're just aligning yourself with the promises that already are yours. You're not saying, you know, I declare I want a Porsche and blah, blah. That's not really what this is about. It's about learning how to speak what is already available to you. Like, for instance, I dealt with a lot of fear back in the day. I don't anymore, praise God, because I use these tools. But I dealt with a lot of fear. And when I got this revelation, I started speaking 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So instead of that fear coming in and me abiding with it, entertaining it, engaging with it, starting to have a dialogue, oh my gosh, I feel scared. Oh, what's going to happen? This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And then, you know, you go, the more you yield to it, the more you give it room. And then people go into anxiety attack, panic attack, all of that. But when you start to recognize it at its onset, and right away you take a stand and say, no, no, no. Just like Smith Wigglesworth, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by what I believe and by the word of God. And I started to say, as soon as I would feel that fear coming in, I said, wait a minute, I'm going to use my sword. So I would say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. God has not given me a spirit of fear. And I would say it, and I would say it, and I would say it. And it seemed ridiculous. You know, I remember once I was just saying it over and over, and I heard this little voice in my head saying, hi, crazy person, you're just standing there saying a sentence over and over. Do you think that that's doing anything? And I knew at that point that it was doing something. And I knew the enemy wanted me to stop speaking the word. And I said, you know, I don't care how long I have to do it. The word of God works. Like, do I believe the word of God works? Do I believe it's real? Do I believe that God's watching over his word to perform it? Do I believe that when I speak, things are shifting? So I said, I'm just going to do it. You know, I have years and years and years of fear rooted and ingrained. It's going to take more than saying something five times to have it change. You know what I'm saying? So
yep.
I got to really go after this. So, and I did. And now I don't say that scripture every day anymore. I barely ever say it. But I fought for it. I fought for that territory because we do have to fight the good fight of faith. And so I love putting tools in believers' hands and saying, look, guys, we are in a fight. You can't just lay down and just say, praise God, I love Jesus, and think you're going to be victorious, because you're not. You know, it's like going into battle as a in the army and just saying, well, just praise God, and not having any skill set or any weaponry. You know, the army, they don't do that. The military does not do that. They know, they strategize, they know their opponents, they know the enemy, and they know their strategy. They have they understand their weaponry. They have their MO of what they're going to do, and then they succeed. And it's the same thing in the body of Christ.
Can I get an amen, somebody? Terry texts
amen.
In. Yes, I love it. He says, good afternoon. Thanks so much for today's program. Stopped watching TV 5 years ago. Don't have internet. Do not own a smartphone. But I listen to Christian radio 24/7. I love to read. Here's the rub. I still have a hard time finding that alone, quiet, one-on-one time with the Lord. Really needed to hear your show today. Well, Terry, thank you. So glad you tuned in. He invites you into that secret place just to speak to you. Robbie, I love this. You write, all of us desire true joy, but most of us have no idea how to achieve it. Wholeness does not transpire automatically. Hear that, friends. Wholeness does not transpire automatically. Breezing through the church doors does not magically transform us. There are no shortcuts in the process, and there's no sidestepping around it. The only way to peace, joy, and righteousness is through a little junk, gunk, and funk. Can I get an amen again, somebody? That's so fantastic. Okay, Robbie, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to hear about the film Unplanned. And as we go to break, just one of the things that Robbie had said in the book is that your struggles, the fact that you have struggles, there's no condemnation in this. This is just, these are evidences, places that God still wants to heal in you. He wants to restore in you. She says, we have not failed. We're not bad Christians for going to counterfeits. We're not weak believers with little faith. We're hurting people trying to cope with life on this planet. Our loving Father in heaven understands, and he has a lot of grace for us. Maybe you needed to hear that today. More with Robbie Scott in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Robbie Scott, who's an author, an actress, a speaker, a woman of God. And we're drawing from the book, her book, Counterfeit Comforts. And I want to read this again. I read it before the break, but I just think somebody may need to hear it. Counterfeit comforts, you know, those are the things you go to because you don't want to have to feel. Maybe you shop too much, eat too much, drink too much, scroll too much. Because you know what? When we slow down, we hide in our busyness, right? But when we slow down, things come to the surface. But it's the very stuff that God wants to redeem and restore. And Rabia says, we have not failed. We're not bad Christians for going to counterfeits. We're not weak believers with little faith. We are hurting people trying to cope with life on this planet. Our loving Father in heaven understands, and he has a lot of grace for us. So you give yourself some grace, but go after some of the stuff that the enemy keeps jerking your chain about. God wants to heal you. So, Rabia, let's move into the film Unplanned, which comes out this week. And after, I think you said, a 15-year hiatus from the film industry, the Lord opened a door, and you're working on this film. What was the experience behind the scenes like for you?
Oh, well, it was very different than my previous jobs in the entertainment industry before I was a Christian. This was extraordinary because pretty much everyone on the set was like-minded, like-spirited believer. So it was wonderful to really be able to be who I am and to speak freely and to have us praying for each other. And everyone was tuned in. You know, it wasn't weird to say, oh, there's warfare. You know, you didn't have to keep those things secret. Everyone knew it. We all spoke the same language. And because there was warfare with, you know, and resistance to what we were doing, we all knew early on that we were doing something bigger than us, and we definitely felt the resistance. We knew that the enemy did not want to see this film come to fruition, and thank goodness our fearless leaders, Chuck Konzelman and Carrie Solomon, the writer-directors of Unplanned, they were wise enough and godly enough to actually hire a prayer department to work on this film. You know, when you do a film, you have a makeup and hair department, you have a wardrobe department, you have a camera crew department, but we actually had a paid intercessory prayer department with five men and women that were powerful, praying every day over the set, over the scenes, over the directors, over us before we had to go to work, and we needed it. We needed it. So it was a whole, very different atmosphere on set.
Wow. I interviewed Abby when that book came out, Unplanned, and her story is just so amazing. Raised in a Christian home, had a heart, just a humanitarian heart, and through a college fair, connected with Planned Parenthood, and it's like her better judgment, if I remember right, kind of told her, maybe not, but then she saw how they were treating these vulnerable women and how Christians were chanting and yelling and calling them names, and she thought, well, I want to be on the other side of that equation. I don't, you know, clearly she felt like I'm helping the vulnerable by being kind and not being these people who are yelling names, and yet she got deeper and deeper into the industry before she realized how terrible it was, and it was the Christians who were kind, who were prayerful, who said, you know, we'll give you some lemonade, and, you know, if you're thirsty, it's a hot day, and we're praying for you, you don't have to do this, but they really separated themselves from those who are screaming, calling names, and that is the seed that God used in her heart to soften her when her crisis of faith would come. Say more about just that story. Are you playing Abby in the film, or what's your role in the film? I should know that. Sorry.
No, I actually play her boss. I play the face of Planned Parenthood.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did you learn more about the story? And correct me if I got anything wrong.
No, you got it. You got it all right. I'd love the listeners to know that this is not a documentary. This is a true story. This is a real film. And sometimes people are like, oh, I don't know if I want to see that. I don't want to see a story like that. It's a movie that has all the different facets of a film. It's intense. It's beautiful. It's funny. It will get you thinking. It's emotional. But really at the core, the message is about love and redemption. So yes, it was exactly what you said. It was the love of her family around her. It was the love of, you know, the Christians that were praying, that were not, you know, the radicals that were, you know, condemning. Because I don't think, you know, even the Bible tells us that God doesn't win us over, you know, through condemnation. It's through love that brings people to Him and to repentance. So that is the theme of this film. And it's tremendous. That's why I was so passionate about doing the movie and was interested in doing it, because, you know, media is very powerful in how it affects our belief system. And Planned Parenthood has been very successful in putting forth this idea of who they are that is not really accurate. You know, they're not really a healthcare provider. They are not about women's empowerment. And many of our just society and current culture don't know that when you go to Planned Parenthood, you really cannot plan your parenthood at all. There's no prenatal care there. So if you're a woman who is in a situation and you want to know your options and you walk into Planned Parenthood, there's no prenatal care. There's no planning to help you be a mom. There's no talk about adoption or that option. When you have your ultrasound, they do not even have you see your ultrasound, because they know, statistics show that when a woman sees her ultrasound, she feels that bond and connection to her baby. And Planned Parenthood knows that. So they purposefully do not let a woman see her ultrasound, because they do not want you to have an emotional connection. They want to tell you it's just cells so that you do what they offer, which is abortion. And this is what America needs to know and see very clearly up on the screen.
Remember, Abby, one thing that she'd said was one of the reasons she got in, because she thought it's good to offer women choices. But the higher she got up in the organization, she realized it wasn't about choice at all. It was about numbers, that abortions make a lot of money. And there was pressure to perform to keep up with sales numbers. You know, when I read that and heard that, I thought I was going to double over and vomit. I'm thinking, Lord, in heaven, have mercy on our land for what we're doing to ourselves and to our babies. I mean, I you can't fathom it. And especially if there's been such a slick marketing campaign that it's a total lie. Lord, have mercy. And then those who do stand up, I'm trying to imagine the backlash Abby endured when she stepped away. You show that at all in the film, or do you know anything about that?
We do go into that in the film, yes. They show, because it was a very real thing. Everything in the movie is true. It's based on her book, so... it's just absolute truth. And Planned Parenthood really came against her and sued her and were trying to take her down. So that is part of the storyline in the movie.
Wow. What's going on for you from here? What's the Lord speaking to you about these days? I'd love to know even how you pray for our nation. You know, you're a woman who spends time with the Lord. What's he speaking to you about?
Well, I think it comes full circle to what we stated in the beginning of our call, which is the Esther scripture about for such a time as this. I just sense that we're definitely on the precipice of a change. I would say for the last year, the Lord's been speaking to me about structures and about the mountains, you know, the political mountain, the church mountain, the entertainment mountain. And he was just showing me how a lot of these areas are no longer really operating in their original intent. You know, politics started for a certain reason, government started, and then it got all perverted and went a different direction. But the Lord started speaking to me that he's really tearing a lot of that down now, and he's reestablishing things to be more in alignment with their original intent. I feel the same way for the church. You know, I feel like there's a big shift happening there, and in a lot of ways we've got into this formula and these traditions of man, and God's doing something fresh, and we really need to be surrendered and to how God's doing it now and break out of the formula a little bit. And I think with the entertainment and the media, it's the same thing. He spoke to me recently as I was praying that he was going to come in now and really start to move mightily through the media, that our media is definitely too slanted toward radio, film, television, all coming from the spirit of the world and not enough of the spirit of God. And I believe that, you know, I know you've been doing this for a long time, and there's many incredible godly people out there really releasing the message, but I sense that God's going to up it now and even be more broad. And to see a film like Unplanned being, you know, being majorly released all across the country in about 1,200 theaters this weekend is really God taking over the airwaves. And it's not about right and wrong. It's not about pro-choice, pro-life. It's just about putting the truth through the media so that people can make a more educated decision. Because I really believe that when pro-choicers see this film, it's going to be eye-opening for a lot of them, for them to see what it is that they really endorse and believe. Some may walk away and retain their beliefs. And if they do, you know, it's a free country. We can choose to believe whatever we wish. But I've been in private screenings all over the country for the last month, and I can't tell you how many people I have encountered that are just shocked. You know, believers, Christians. I just had a young girl in college, and she was crying. She was weeping at a screening we had in Florida, and she said, "I cannot believe this. You know, I'm a Christian, but I didn't really know all this. I didn't understand this. And there's so much pressure at my college. There's so much pressure. And to hear my other friends talk and what people understand and what they think is true, when they see this movie, it's going to just shake them, because now I understand. Now I see what's true." And to have that response from her, and to see it from literally thousands of people as I travel the country, that's what I believe God is doing. He's putting the truth right out there for people to see, so that they can choose. They can decide what it is that they believe and what they stand for.
Boy, praise God. I'm so glad I asked. You know, and again, I felt just nudged to say this. If you're listening and you've had an abortion, you know, I talked with Lorraine Varela last week about her devotional, and in fact, I endorsed that book for her. About it's a healing devotional, just walking you through the invitation to heal, because there are casualties across the board, men, women, you know, moms, dads, brothers, sisters. And this is something that God has a very tender heart towards. If you've been there, there's redemption, there's forgiveness, there's healing for you.
Boy, Ruby,
I wonder if you would just pray actually for that person listening today, who maybe has a private pain and just a private hurt. I mean, I feel it more than ever before, God's passion to see his people restored, because then we'll live boldly. Then we'll love the way he loves, because we'll know it in our soul. But would you pray for that person who desperately needs that today?
I will, and I want your listeners to know that there is nothing condemning about this film. It's a film and a story of restoration. Abby herself had two abortions, and now she has many children, and God has her in a powerful position. So if you've been in this situation, this movie is to really bring that up, to remove the shame and remove the guilt so that there can be healing. So I just pray right now for anyone who is in a post-abortive situation and any trauma you've gone through. I just thank you, Father God, that you are a healer, that whatever is in the dark, that you'll bring up to the light. And I thank you, God, that that is who you are. Your nature is one of love, one of forgiveness, one of gentleness. You're never shaming or accusing, but you're there not to put a heavy burden, but as the word says, to lift the yoke and to lift the heavy burden. So I pray for the listeners right now, wherever you are, that you can receive the release of any pressure, of any shame, of any guilt, regardless of what decision you've made in your past, and step forward unencumbered into the freedom that God has for you. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Rabia, appreciate you so much. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Great speaking with you again.
Always good to talk with you. Tomorrow we're doing a session called Songs and Verses. So after the show, text me some of the songs God's been using in your life. We're going to have a great devotional time tomorrow on Middays. Tune in. It's going to be great. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.